day is found in part of the 41st chapter and the 42nd chapter of the book of Genesis. We were dwelling upon Joseph, how that God had blessed him, and how that he likewise had become the second ruler in the land of Egypt, and how that Pharaoh changed likewise his attire, gave him a chariot to ride in, took his ring off his hand and put it on his finger, and he says, I am Pharaoh, but thou art the second ruler in the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh likewise changed Joseph's name, and he called him Saphpaneah, and he gave unto him Asenath, the wife, daughter of Potipherah, to wife, who was a priest and probably was a prince in the court of Pharaoh. This name which Pharaoh gave unto Joseph has the interpretation of a discoverer of secrets and the savior of the world. This woman that he gave unto Joseph to be wife was a daughter of a priest who was in the land or in the city of On. This being a woman probably whose father already had died, and she was a ward of Pharaoh, and he gave this woman to him. Her name means goddess. This particular city, An, was in the eastern part of Egypt. It was 5 miles above the modern city called Cairo. This city in antiquity is noted for those wise men who went to college there and likewise were great in astronomy. This city was called by the Greeks the city of the sun. The Jews, the Hebrews, called it Beth Shemesh, the house of the sun. This then was likewise a great change in Joseph's life. He had been richly blessed by God after he had been brought out of prison, made the second ruler over the land of Egypt, and providentially he likewise was richly blessed. He had a palace to live in, he had a wife, and likewise he went out through the land of Egypt to fulfill his plan. He had told Pharaoh what should be done, and he was given the position to do it, and now he went throughout all the land of Egypt, and he began to gather the food that was in the cities outside of the land of Egypt. We read so distinctly that the land brought forth with handfuls. An abundance of food was given by God in this particular country, Egypt. And these people who had believed that what Joseph had said of the dreams, they probably likewise gathered a certain amount of the food together to prepare for this famine which was to come. Joseph likewise went throughout all the land, and he built storehouses and granaries, places where he could store the food that God was given so richly and so abundantly. And this time was before that this famine came. Before the famine came, we find that Joseph had two sons. The first one he named Manasseh, and the second he named Ephraim. Manasseh he named because God had given him to forget all his toil and his father's house. Ephraim he named because God had made him fruitful in the land of his affliction. You will notice in this that Joseph attributed all what he had unto God, that God had blessed him in this particular country in Egypt, and that he had given him to forget all his toil. He had went through much affliction in this land. He had been cast into prison, and finally he had been brought out and he had been lifted up to the second position in Egypt. God had then richly blessed Joseph, and he gave God the credit for what he had received. Likewise, God had given him to be fruitful. He was very fruitful in this land because he had a palace to dwell in, he had riches, and he had authority, and he was the man that everyone respected and bowed their knee to. Now these two words, my hearers, forgetfulness and fruitfulness, we will change them and say fruitfulness and forgetfulness happens to many a person in this life, not only providentially, but spiritually likewise. God, in his infinite mercy, has a people throughout this world who he gathers in due time unto himself. Sinners, dead in trespasses and sins, as we all are by nature, unfruitful creatures, for what good are we by nature? Oh, what good was I and what good were you, child of God, in your steed of nature? Oh, you would have went on in your sins and in your transgressions. But God, in his infinite mercy, looked down upon you. He had his eye upon you. You were one of those who he had chosen from all eternity, and therefore he came to you. He convicted you of your sins. He gave you to see the evil and the error of your ways, and he turned you about face. He gave you a new heart. He put his fear within you. He caused you to come to him with weeping and with supplications. He gave you to confess your sins and to forsake them. And he gave you to experience so much fruitfulness under the means of grace. He gave you new ears. He gave you new eyes. He gave you a new heart. He gave you a new affections. He gave you new love. He gave you new feet to walk in his ways. Oh, if this has taken place in your life, my hearer, you have become a fruitful tree. From being a barren, a dead creature, you have become a fruitful tree, as we read in the first Psalm, a tree planted by the riversides, whose leaf has become so green. Oh, what a mercy to experience something like this in this life, by the grace of God, to be made fruitful. And not only have you been made fruitful in a spiritual sense, but whatever you laid your hand to do, God blessed you. You were fruitful likewise providentially. You went ahead in the world. You had a good position. You had more wealth than you ever had before. God blessed you providentially. But oh, this being blessed providentially led you to this word, forgetfulness. You began to forget God. You began to forget the many mercies, the many blessings that he has given unto you when he sought you out and when he put his fear in your heart. Oh, how forgetful are we of this God who remembers us even in our lowest state. Oh, how many of God's dear children must say this is so true. As we read, when Jeshurun waxed fat, he kicked against the Lord and he forgot him. Oh, how often has it not been with the people of God like it was with Israel of old? We read so distinctly that Israel had been wonderfully blessed, brought out of the land of Egypt, and after they had been brought out, then we find what sort of creatures they were, just like you and I. Oh, they forgot God, their Savior, who did wonderful things in the land of Egypt. Oh, they went and they served idols. They bowed down to them. And they worked works which were a disgrace to their name. And God likewise visited them for their sins. Oh, what a mercy that God don't leave us go on in our sins, my hearers, if we are one of his people. He may let us go to a certain extent, but he sure will bring us back again. Oh, then Israel returned unto the Lord, and the Lord in mercy visited them. Have you ever experienced a state of that, my hearers? That you forsook God, that you went out after the things of time and sense, that they had more value for you than God in his service, and all the blessings that he had given unto you in the past, and then God came. Oh, maybe God visited you with affliction. Maybe he touched this or that. Maybe he took away your position and you were brought low, but you were brought again back to God. What a mercy that this God, who he has chosen, never leaves, never forsakes. He is a good God, my hearers. Oh, I could present him to you. May you be given to know him and to serve him and to love him. Joseph then, he attributed all what he had received unto this great God. And Joseph now, he went out throughout the land. He was the governor of the land, and he took care of all the food that God gave in those 7 years of plentiness. Oh, it was a wonderful time in the land of Egypt. And the things grew so rapidly and so abundantly, and they gathered everything. The fifth part of the land of Egypt was for Pharaoh, and Joseph took care of it. And my hearers, we find in this that Joseph is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. For Joseph, he was exalted, he was lifted to a position of honor, and so Jesus Christ has been lifted up and exalted on high. He has been raised up to the right hand of the Father, and all trust and all power and all honor has been given unto him, and he is the disposer of the covenant mercies that God has in store for his people, and he distributes them to mankind throughout this great universe. Joseph then was a true interpreter of the dreams of Pharaoh. Pharaoh had the utmost confidence in him because he seen what he had interpreted was true. And now we find that the years of barrenness were coming on. And then we find too written in this chapter that there was such a dearth throughout all the land, and that only in the land of Egypt there was bread. For these people in the land of Egypt, they had foresight and they took care that whatever God gave, they put aside and they kept it because they looked forward to this barren years to come. This teaches us likewise, when God gives us an abundance of prosperity, then we likewise must lay aside in those years, because God lays over it against a day of prosperity, a day of adversity. Oh, God visits sometimes in a remarkable way. And then if we have wasted and squandered everything that God has given us, then that is not a blessing to us, but then that is a curse. This takes place so often, my hearers, in the world. The Lord points us to the ants, this little folk. They take care in the summertime. They prepare their food in the summertime for the wintertime. So we are to look at these ants. And likewise, as a nation, as countries, when God richly blesses a country with an abundance of prosperity and an abundance of food, and the land yields such great crops, then we are to gather this together, because it is not going to be this way all the time. Sad to say, this what God gives sometimes likewise becomes a curse. Oh, how often does it not take place? It took place in our country. It took place in Holland. That when God gave an abundance of crops and the farmer couldn't get his price for them, why then they destroy them. Instead of giving them to the poor, instead of selling them for a cheaper price, they went and they burned them, they consumed them. When milkmen, when they raised the price of milk, and these dairymen couldn't get more for their milk, then instead of distributing it likewise to the poor and needy and using it for good purposes, they spilled it out on the ground and let it run in the sewer. This is what they did with God's blessings. In Holland, just before Germany invaded it, Vergehill writes this in this book. He said that they gathered so much food together which God had given, and they put fuel to it. They put oil upon it and they burned it and they consumed it. Later on, many of those poor Holland people wished that they had had those things that they had burned and consumed, because when Germany invaded them, then there was so much hunger and so much people dying of starvation. Oh, then their eyes went open. Then they wished they had not done those things. God visited that country for their sins in this respect. And oh, what a blessing it that God thought of them. How many plane loads of food did not America bring over from England and let it drop from the skies down to feed the poor starving people in the Netherlands? Oh, my hearers, when God gives an abundance, even in your own particular life, take care of it. Do not squander it. Do not waste it. You never know what God might bring upon you. Joseph, he took care of everything. He was a good governor. And now the years of famine broke on, just as he had said. And only in the land of Egypt there was bread. Of these people that had the foresight to put away in the years of plenty, they had an abundance yet, and they began to sell it to the people that didn't have any, probably for a good price. But finally, all the food in the land of Egypt was consumed. Egypt was famished. Nobody had any anymore, even those that had the foresight and had saved it. And now these people, they came unto Pharaoh, and they said, "We have no bread to eat." This is right. This is a good thing to do. We find this taking place in our own land. Many people go to the government when we have judgments brought upon us, when floods take place, when God speaks in a powerful way, and many cities are destroyed sometimes by an earthquake, by hurricanes, by the visitations of God. And then these communities, they are void of everything that's necessary for life, and they appeal unto the government. And the government likewise immediately takes a hand in them and helps them out. So these people, they had no more bread to eat. And their children were crying for food, and they couldn't give them any food. Mothers, if you have had that case, probably some of you that are elderly have had this in the past. During a depression that we lived through in 1929 and 3 or 4 years, so many people that had much lost everything. They lost their homes. They lost everything they had. And they had to go knocking on the door to get something to eat down at the city hall. Oh, my hearers, these things may take place again in life. God may visit us, a nation. Oh, never blessed like any other nation in the world, the United States. And God may visit us again. Woe be unto us. I often think of this. Oh, what people we have in this country at the present time. How rebellious, how they stand up against everything that's going on in this country. And oh, what will happen if God should come with his judgments upon us? Oh, I think it will be awful time for us if we are still living here. May God in his infinite mercy remember us and deal not with us according to our sins. And now, my hearers, this Pharaoh, he spake unto the people, and he said unto them, "Go to Joseph and do what he says unto you to do." And you will notice that now the famine really was true in the land of Egypt. And not only in the land of Egypt, but in all the lands round about Egypt. Egypt was very dependent upon the river Nile, as I said a few Sundays ago. And now this river did not rise up over its banks. The source of this river was in Abyssinia. And in Abyssinia there had been no rain, so the river Nile did not raise its banks. It did not go over its banks. So the Egyptians, they couldn't sow. They couldn't plant. It didn't yield anything for them. So it was in the land of Abyssinia. It was in Palestine. It was in Arabia. and other countries round about, they all were afflicted by this famine. And now even in the land of Egypt, there was no more bread. Go to Joseph. I wish to bring before you, my hearers, in a spiritual sense, how God likewise does. As it went down into the land of Egypt, so it goes spiritually. All my hearers, believe me, unless God brings you to be so hungry and so thirsty and so famished that you haven't got anything anymore, until you come to that spot, then you don't receive anything. Oh, God empties his creatures, and he brings them in this state and condition so that he may receive the glory. All he spake by the mouth of Pharaoh to these Egyptians, go to Joseph. And my hearers, so God speaks to poor famishing sinners who are guilty, who are wretched, who are lost, who are undone, who can't save themselves and who think that it's forever lost. This is an actuality. This isn't just a mentality fact. It's a truth that takes place within my hearers. And when you are in this famishing condition, to hear that there is yet hope, there is yet a way of escape, go to Joseph, go to Jesus, and do what he tells you to do. Oh, my hearers, when we are given that grace to go to Jesus in such a state, and when he begins to speak, oh, his words, they are sweeter than honey. Oh, they strengthen more than the best food that you could find in this world. Oh, my hearers, one word from Jesus enlivens and quickens and refreshes and revives the souls of his dear children. Oh, go to Jesus and do what he tells you to do. And when he speaks, my hearers, it's with power. It's in love. It's in mercy. Oh, have you ever had him speak to you? Do you know his voice? Has he ever cheered you, encouraged you in the midst of all your despondency and your fear that everything is wrong and that you're going to perish in your sins? Then to have Jesus speak, to have Jesus come and say a word to your heart. Oh, how encouraging this is, my hearers. Oh, how few have this in their lives. Oh, how few know the voice of this good shepherd. My sheep, he says, they hear my voice, they know my voice, and they follow me. Oh, this was a good thing for these Egyptians, that they could go to Joseph. Joseph was the savior of Egypt and of all the countries round about. In Joseph, God had given wisdom and understanding to likewise prepare for this great famine which they were experiencing at this present time. And now these people, they went to Joseph. And Joseph, he opened up all the storehouses in the land of Egypt. He didn't open them up at first. Oh, no. He waited until Egypt was famished. And then he opened the storehouses. So God does to his dear children. When they're famished, when there ain't anything left anymore of what they have had in the past, and they've lived it all up and they can't find any life in it anymore, then God opens up the storehouses. Or he opens up what is in his dear son, Jesus. He opens up the covenant of grace, the mercies, the blessings that are in store for his dear people. Oh, what a mercy when this is unfolded unto us. Then there is plenty for all God's dear people in this precious Savior. There's a fullness of grace, and he deals it out graciously, mercifully. They receive grace for grace out of this fountain of grace, Jesus, who likewise was in what he did like Joseph. Joseph then, he gave unto the people. He sold to them. They all came to him, and he sold the corn and the wheat that he had gathered to the people. He sold it for a legitimate profit. He didn't boost the price up and try to get everything that the people had. No, he was a child of God. He dealt very justly with the people. He didn't take advantage of them because they were in a necessity to have this food, but he sold it for a profit so that Pharaoh likewise received back what he had put out for the food. Joseph then was a good man at this post, for God had placed him there. Joseph, and this is a type of Jesus too, he'll never take advantage of your soul. No matter how you sink, no matter how you sin, no matter how far you may go away from God, and how poor you may become, and in what a famishing state you may be in, he'll never take advantage of you. And he says to his people, come, buy wine and milk without price. Or he gives it freely, abundantly. You don't have to pay for it. He gives it by grace. And what a mercy it is to receive it by grace. And Joseph then, he sold to all the people and to all the countries round about. They all came to Egypt because they heard that in Egypt there was corn to be had. Jesus Christ has been placed by God the Father in the midst of this sinful world, and he calls unto sinners to come to Jesus. For in him there is pardon, there is peace, there is reconciliation to be had. There is everything necessary for a poor, lost, condemned sinner. God has placed him in this position, just as Joseph was placed in the land of Egypt. And now we find in the 42nd chapter that even the famine had extended into the land of Canaan. This was the Canaan here below. There'll never be a famine in that Canaan above. There never will be a scarcity there. There will be a fullness of everything that is necessary for everyone that shall enter therein. There'll never be a variation. There'll never be a change in that glorious place, heavenly Canaan above. In hell likewise there'll be no change. There'll be no variation. It'll be pain, 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 and suffering to all eternity. And no, not even a drop of water to cool a poor sinner's tongue. Oh, what a terrible eternity that will be if we should enter therein. There was then no variation with likewise this blessed Joseph in the land of Egypt. And now in the land of Canaan, the people likewise, they came into want. The two saints before Jacob likewise experienced a famine. We have the account of Abraham that there was a famine in the land, and he went down into the land of Egypt. We have an account of Isaac that there was a famine in the land, and he went down into the land of the Philistines. And now Jacob, he is in the land of Canaan, and a famine comes too while he's there. And Jacob, he was a wealthy man. You know, when he met his brother Esau, how many camels he had, how much herd of cattle he had. He was a very wealthy man. And now, it probably was in the beginning of the second year of this famine that this 42nd chapter begins. By this time, he had sold everything. He had sold all the herds that he had. He had sold all the camels that he had. And he had practically nothing left. When a famine comes, we sell everything possible to save our lives so that we will have things to eat. And likewise with Jacob. And he had sons, and they had wives, and they had children. And now Jacob, he heard that there was corn down in the land of Egypt. Probably some of his neighbors had went down there, and he seen them coming back with it. And he likewise spake to his sons and said unto them, why stand ye and looking at each other? I've heard that there's corn down in the land of Egypt. Go down and buy for us so that we may live and not die. See how close it was, my hearers? It was getting to the point that if they didn't have something to eat pretty soon, they all would die. And now these brothers, they were afraid to go down into the land of Egypt. They had sold their brother Joseph to the Ishmaelites, and they had carried him down into the land of Egypt. And they were afraid probably they would meet him if they went down there. They stood there. They didn't act. Jacob had to urge them. Go down, he says, lest we die. We find that these 10 brothers, they immediately then arose in obedience to their father, because necessity knows no law, and they went down to the land of Egypt. They left Benjamin, their youngest brother, home with their father. Jacob would not allow him to go, lest some mischief should befall him, he says. He was the darling of his father. He was a brother to Joseph. And he thought, if I let him go and something happens to him, then I'll never see him anymore either. So he wouldn't let Benjamin go down with the rest of the brothers to Egypt. He kept him home. And these 10 brothers, they went down to the land of Egypt to buy corn. These brothers, they needed quite a lot of corn for their families. And when they came, they had to come before Joseph. For Joseph, he was the one that sold the corn. Now, he was not the only one. Joseph must have sure had deputies that sold corn too throughout the land of Egypt. But if people came that were foreigners and that looked pretty remarkable, you may be sure that the Egyptians, they had a watch around the country to see who were coming down to buy corn. They probably were afraid too that they might be invaded by some other country and they may be taken, they take all the corn and everything that they had away from them. And therefore, they had to come before Joseph, because there was 10 of them, and they were altogether different looking men probably than the other foreigners that came from other countries. So they had to come before Joseph. And when they came, why, in courtesy to the man who they came to, they bowed down before him with their heads to their faces to the ground. Oh, what a wonder this must have been to Joseph. Joseph must have been thinking about these remarkable dreams that he had had when he was back home with his father and his brethren, and he had told them these dreams. And he was probably thinking, I wonder when these dreams will be fulfilled. They were divine dreams. They were dreams that God had given unto him, and he was looking forward to the fulfillment of them. Let me ask you, has God ever given you anything? Has he ever given you a promise? Has he ever given you an intimation that in the future you are going to be saved, your sins are going to be pardoned, you're going to be reconciled with God? Are you not looking forward to this time? Have you not sometimes such earnest desires, such burning desires in your soul that this may take place? You can't forget these things if God has given you to them. Joseph couldn't forget the dreams that he had either. They were divine. And now here he's seen the fulfillment of it. Here these 10 empty sheaves, they bow down before this full sheaf, Joseph. This is what he had dreamed. They had mocked him for his dreams. They even had called him a dreamer. But the dreams that he had were godly. And now here they came, unknown. They bowed down before him. They didn't recognize Joseph. Joseph was about 38 years of age at this time. And Joseph was dressed in Egyptian garb. And Joseph, he spake the Egyptian language. He spake to them through an interpreter. So they did not recognize Joseph. And they bowed down before him. But now Joseph, he knew them. He recognized them. And Joseph, he spake unto them. He acted strangely to them, it says, and he spake roughly to them. And he said, from whence come ye? Well, they said, we come from the land of Canaan to buy corn. Joseph, he spake unto them in this tone of voice. For what reason? In the first place, Joseph was very anxious to know whether they were still the same as they were when they had sold him to the Ishmaelites. In the second place, he wanted to bring them to true repentance, if he possibly could. And in the third place, he was very anxious to know how his father was. You know, when you read this, it's remarkable, when you come to think of it, how that Joseph, who went throughout all the land of Egypt and was on the border of Canaan, and it was only 3 days' journey with one of his chariots to get to his father, that he never went to him in them 7 years of plentiness. You know why? He probably had something from heaven in his heart that he shouldn't go, that God had something to fulfill with Jacob and his posterity down in the land of Egypt. And therefore, he never made an attempt to go to see his aged father and to see how he was doing all them years, where he surely would have had the opportunity, being the second ruler in the land of Egypt. And now his brothers are before him. And this is the way he treats his brothers. It wouldn't have been right for Joseph to reveal himself right away to his brothers and say, "I'm Joseph," and embrace them. It was necessary that they be brought to the remembrance of their sins and that they have a certain amount of remorse of what they had done to him. And therefore he spake in this manner to them. He was aiming to see whether there had been any change in these men since he had left them. Next week, the Lord willing, we'll pick up the lesson from this point and continue on. Our time is gone. The Lord bless the instruction I've given to your immortal souls. That's all for today.